American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. We're taking your calls in the third hour. We'll also have Tom Renz on in a little bit. Maha, we got an update for you in regards to that movement, of course. We're all fans. We've got a few minutes here as we take a little quick break, 5 minutes at the top of the hour for those listening radio. So for those of you listening digitally right now, we'll keep taking some phone calls. We have Clown Car on hold right now. We'll go to Clown Car right now because we've got about 4 minutes. Clown Car, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Clown Car, what are you doing, man? First, I'd like to bring up the $31 billion that Mondani's crying about the Adams administration left them. But you know what that money was for, right? The $31
billion? Yeah. What was it for? You tell me.
To house and feed the immigrants that were in New York City. So he acted like he didn't know that he was going to be facing that. That's the best part. But, you know, the one thing about Mondani is if he is here on this visa status for being, you know, what is that called, a worker visa or something that he's on because he was an entertainer and all this. And how come nobody brings up, you know, that he says the pictures were fake, but meanwhile his mother's in the Epstein files like 10 times or something like that. And so he cries about having not being able to do what he said he's going to do. And he's going to make free buses, but he raised the buses. And then he's going to, you know, lower the taxes. And then going against Hochul, who also was a person who said that you won't get into heaven if you don't have the COVID vaccine. That was another shocking thing that she said when she first got in office. But and that kind of skipped everybody's mind. But the best thing that Mondani has done so far is he shoveled somebody's car out during the snowstorm. Remember that?
No, I didn't see that one. I can't even imagine. He can't even lift up a bar. How does he lift a shovel?
It's amazing because actors make it look good. I guess it's AI. But
yeah, it might be AI. I've never seen him do any physical labor. He's kind of a beta male.
So it states in your visa for being here on, you know, immigrant status that you can't support or be part of any type of terrorist or hateful organization. And the Holy Land 5 is actually labeled as a terrorist organization. And in his song, his rap song, he had an illustrious rap career. I don't know if you heard, but he made a song and in the middle of it, he starts to say about Holy Land 5 and how he supports the Holy Land 5. And he wants to make that clear to everybody to look it up, even if you don't know what Holy Land 5 is. He actually says this in a rap song. So when I looked it up, I said, but this guy's here on a visa. How's he able to support a terrorist organization? How does nobody check people on that? How are people not just letting this stuff go? Like, the governor said, you're not getting into heaven if you don't take COVID-19 vaccine. Why wasn't this stopped right then? You know, when Adams was seen in a police briefing and he says, kill the cracker. You know, he said that in the beginning of him, you know, getting elected and, you know, running the campaign. But yet, and nobody brings up the fact that Curtis Aliva was saying, look, these guys roll over for $10 million by Israelis. They came to me. I turned it down by the Mossad. Next thing you know, 2 weeks before Adams is out of office, hey, look, he's going to Israel now by himself for no freaking reason. But what is going on?
Yeah, I don't know. I've abandoned New York, Clown Car.
I hear you, but, you know, if we're going to just, you know, hold somebody to something, like we're trying to hold them on immigrant status, how does he run for mayor? How does he beat his whole party with 7% of the vote be the guy that they pick? Like, that's something that Democrats alone should be upset with. You know what I mean? I'm sure it was somebody they wanted in their little group more than that guy. And it was like, oh, you got 7% of the vote. I guess he's going to win. What?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a hot mess. That's why we like to hear from you, Clown Car, so you could break down the latest, of course, that's going on right now. But yeah, I mean, they all saw this coming, though. So there's no one else really to blame but their own people at this point. Clown Car, thank you for calling in, as you always do. We appreciate you. If you're on hold right now, stay put. We've got more to discuss in just about 1 minute. We'll be diving into more callers. But most importantly, we'll also be speaking with Tom Renz in a bit as well, because Tom Renz has a lot to sign off on. Plus, I'll give you an update about the FDA reversing its rejection of the Moderna mRNA vaccine. That's the flu vaccine they're claiming is a vaccine, but it probably isn't. Now it's apparently being reviewed. I'll bring you the latest.
No. Now, this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We extended it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Store-wide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today. Third hour of the program. Welcome back. All right, we're taking your calls for the next 20 minutes, I'd say. If you want to join the show, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. We'll be going down the caller list, though. And the first one up for this hour, it's Savage Dog in Georgia. Welcome back.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
Hey, I wasn't going to call. I was going to give it a break, but that that evil Satanist flat that you had on there talking about Christian nationalism got me lit up.
Yeah.
First, though, I want to say to Mr. Vance, my brother, Marine brother, yeah, it's easy to pick on the Navy, and we do. But you ask any Navy corpsman, because, you know, Marine Corps is Department of Navy, and we have Navy corpsmen in combat. You ask any Navy corpsman if he's sitting down with a group of Marines if he has to buy his own beer, and the answer is no. He'd probably get his ass kicked if he tried. So, yeah, we pick on our little brothers, but we still love them.
I hear you on that. I know. It's a going joke. I know Jesse Kelly's been on that for a while now. Jesse Kelly on X is always constantly cracking jokes, so... There's that, Savage Dog.
Well, Jesus said, you will be persecuted for my name's sake. And that's really all this is. And I don't know if this is a start, if it's a new pivot. Maybe they've decided it's now been long enough where we can go ahead and rip on Charlie Kirk and be safe. But they're wrong. Who was it? And what network was that?
Was CNN. That was Pam Brown. Now, that documentary still has not been released yet. I believe it comes out this weekend. So we don't know the whole context of it. But as you saw, Savage Dog, in the teaser for it, I mean, she's very clearly going after what she refers to as Christian nationalism. And she, in that video as well, for those of you who may have missed it, we played that soundbite earlier in the show. She's also going over Charlie Kirk's assassination and how it revived the Christian national movement. Christian nationalism movement is what she's going off with. But again, this is what they always do. They always try to vilify Christians. They're the easiest targets in some cases because a lot of them are just too afraid to stand up for themselves. But also, I feel like on a network like CNN, all they're really dealing with are atheists there who are poorly informed. They don't understand that Christians are by far one of the most peaceful groups of people you'll ever run into. And so I think for CNN, it's an easy target, Savage Dog.
No, they're not atheists. They're the other side. What was I going to say? Christian nationalist. Yes, I am. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's not a bad thing. But when she says it with a sneer, Christian nationalist, just by the tone, making it a bad thing, and it'll be spun as a bad thing. And then you got that other douche on there, she's interviewing kind of implying that it's dangerous and then she's also implying that this country wasn't founded on Christian values. It most certainly was, mm-hmm. Not Judeo-Christian, and I wish people would stop saying those words together. It was Christian values. And I blame the founding fathers for not wording it better, mm-hmm. Worship as you please. They had no idea that Satanism would become a thing or that Islam would blow up like it did, even though our first war was against Barbary pirates. we didn't know back then. And, you know, as far as like the Second Amendment should have been written better, they had no idea, because back then the nuclear bomb back then was a cannon, and people had cannons on their property. And you know, people talk about, you can't have an F-16, you can't have a nuke. That's not what the Second Amendment meant at all. It actually meant, yeah, you can have a nuke. But they had no idea that technology would go that far. So far as my topic, though, the Christian nationalism, I think that it's gonna Streisand effect. She's gonna put this out, and it's gonna have a lot of people talking about it, and it's gonna bring more people on, because on our side, you know, like the Bible says, God has a habit of turning evil into good for good intentions. You know, it's not going to go, it's not going to slip by. It's not going to have the effect they wanted, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll stand by and watch. I mean, you know what we're talking about on Monday. If they do drop this piece, I'll give my honest take on it, of course. So I'll keep my eye on it, and we'll see how this goes. I mean, obviously, they tried this multiple times. There was used to be this speaking event that I used to attend all the time. They always tried this Christian nationalism movement as a way of slandering it, but it wasn't. It was run by Clegg Clark, and he does an incredible job at just that. So, yeah, Savage Dog, they've tried a couple of times now, and they never seem to land a punch. They do their very best. Thank you for calling in, Savage Dog. We appreciate it. It looks like a couple of other people want to talk about this as well. Bulldog in Oklahoma is also on the line to talk about Christian nationalism as well. Bulldog, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Miss Morello?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Hey, following what Savage Dog said, I wasn't going to call in. And then you played that CNN clip where they talking about Christian nationalists. They killed Charlie Kirk. Now, you want to say who they are? Well, just look in history. Look at the repeating patterns. Look at what happened to JFK. Look at 9/11. We all know what we're talking about here. And they're going to end up trying to tie Christian nationalism with white supremacy. Mm-hmm. That's the play, just like what they did in the Super Bowl. Robert Kraft up there trying to pit Jews and blacks against whites. That's where they're going to try to hit us at, is with our belief. And yes, we are a peaceful people. But here, when it comes down to it, when you push people to a point to where you have to face evil, you have to call, and that's where we're at. We're at the point now where we're seeing evil, we're staring it in the face, and people's going to have to draw a line. Either you're going to side with it, or you're going to confront it, and we're going to have to confront it. We need to put the Bibles back in the school, and people need to get involved in their community, need to get in church, need to get down on your knees and pray, and ask God for discernment. That's where we are as a nation right now. And they're trying to tear us apart. I know I sound like I'm ranting, but it got me hot under the collar. And I will not stand by and watch evil. I will not stand by and watch a religion be pushed upon the people of America that says that you can rape three-year-old children. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're Goyim. I don't care what you are. That's evil.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
All I got, Miss Morello. I'm sorry to rant.
No, Bulldog, that's the reason why we do this, and I appreciate you jumping on it. Yeah, I figured I'd put this on everyone's radar and play that clip. I know it gets us all fired up, and it's something that we should all be paying attention to. It's something we should all be paying attention to, and we need to be addressing. So, Bulldog, as always, we appreciate you calling into the show. Everyone with the great nicknames right now. Cowboy Gun from California, looks like. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Welcome.
Okay, first-time caller. Well, I'm going to follow Savage Dog and Bulldog. This is great. They teed me up really well. But before I do, I wanted to give you a little humor. Do you remember the show Fantasy Island?
No, I don't. Sorry, I don't watch much TV.
That's okay. Your callers will remember there was a famous actor, little guy, and every time the show started, he'd be pointing in the air and he'd say, "The plane, the plane." Mm-hmm. Well, how come nobody's done a Pam Bondi, "The Dow, the Dow"? Anyway, your callers don't understand. But, yeah, I'm calling to react about the Pamela Brown clip that you guys showed.
Yeah.
And ironically, it's almost word for word what you showed with a Geraldo Rivera special. It was in the late 80s, early 90s, and it was called Devil Worship Exposing Satan's Underground. And it just looked word for word. Like, it's a great clip. I haven't seen the video in some time, but if your callers are unfamiliar, it it has Michael Aquino, known as the Colonel, and anybody who knows anything about the Franklin cover-up or Kathy O'Brien, which was on Alex's show yesterday, would understand who the Colonel is. And Savage Dog, I really recommend, if you don't know Aquino, please look into him. But, yeah, so basically my reaction is it's kind of like they're putting it in our faces. And the Satanism is real. People need to understand that. And we really need to stick together and kind of going off of what Bulldog just said there. And to remember a great actor, Robert Duvall, in the 2003 movie Secondhand Lions, there's a great scene called the barbecue scene. And basically a bunch of punk kids come in and mess with him when he's just trying to have his lunch. And he basically says, you guys are messing with people that are too good-natured to do anything about it. So I agree with Bulldog. We need to all stand together and get behind it and fight the evil that's out there. And that's what I got.
I like it. I like it, Cowboy. I like that messaging. Yes, we do. We all do. We need to fight the evil, and we need to do so together. And no, I like it. I like it. Thanks for calling in, Cowboy. I appreciate it. Folks, if you haven't done so already, you want to join the show, the number is 877-789-2539. We've got about 12 more minutes of calls to be taking. So if you haven't done so already and you want to, we'll try our very best. But call in, you might as well. Let's get to the next caller. We'll start back up. Bald Eagle is next. Bald Eagle, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brianna, thanks for taking my call. I take exception. You can see I disagree with you from the call screener. I probably put that in there, but it's a gentle, friendly disagreement. I also disagree with Harrison. I disagree with Alex, all of you guys, because every day you get on here and you point out all the faults of the federal government and the things they're doing wrong, and then you go crawling to the federal government, the very people that created and rigged this system to benefit themselves, and you ask them to fix it so it doesn't. Okay. That's no different than that, giving a drunk a bottle of vodka and saying, get sober. It's never going to happen. There are only two things in the history of the world that have ever changed government. Do you know what they are?
I'll let you tell me.
Okay, it's finances or money and violence. Those are the only two things. Look around the world and just some of the recent events and some of the countries that have been toppled or have fallen. They haven't been taken back by the people through asking. They haven't been friendly about it. They've either stopped the flow of money or they've been violent. And that's the only way you can get change through a government system that is set up to keep you as a slave and to benefit those in charge. So I don't know what we do about this. I'm not a big fan of violence, but you can't be afraid of it. If you truly want change, you got to cut off the money or you have to get violent. Look at the left wing. It's the same bird, but look at the left wing. So, what do they do when they want change?
So Bald Eagle, I want to hear you elaborate a little bit. You said that we are critical of the government, and then I believe the quote was crawling back to the government looking for solutions. Can you give us a couple of examples of that?
Oh, yeah. Perfect. So we voted because we still thought voting counted, right? And we thought it actually meant things and thought it could change things. We voted for mass deportations. And what do we have? We have a closed border. Fantastic. We're not getting mass deportations. Deportations are lower than previous levels with previous administrations. Instead, we're looking at spending $90 billion that we don't have of tax money that we just print out of thin air for a system that's rigged to aid the elite. And we're going to take that $90 billion and we're going to buy warehouses. So we don't have to deport these people. We can keep them right here. That's what we're being told, correct?
Well, no, let me get back to that one actually first, and then I'll let you get to your other example. So that one is they're creating these facilities because legally they're being told that they have to get due process for these illegal invaders. And due process would mean that they'd have to get in front of a judge a couple of times, and the judge would have to be the one to give them the boot. So they're building up these detention centers because this is why Democrats did what they did. They flooded us with millions of illegal invaders for the purpose of we would have to stack them up in detention centers. And at the current capacity, we don't have that capacity to do so. So they knew that it was going to keep the new federal government from being able to deport these folks. And so although we believe in mass deportations, it's reasonable to say that there's not enough resources involved in all of this. And these detention centers, yes, I do fear that if the next administration's Democrats, they could use these detention centers later on at a later date to hold their political enemies in a massive camp. Yes, I do think that is a reasonable, given what we saw under COVID, that's a reasonable theory to come to. But you can't, we're not just trying to house them here because we want to house them here. We saw the legal battle that happened between both left and right, obviously, and the judges were refusing to deport these individuals and said that they were that they needed due process. And so you can't support these people now.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And that is the law-abiding, voting matters, and it works mentality. You look at the Democrats. The judges told them during Biden's tenure that you can't do that. What'd they do? They did it, whatever the example may be. And how many of those people have been held accountable or are sitting in jail? For one, Joe Biden, Auto Pen, you can't do that. It's illegal. Where's Joe Biden today?
Yeah.
They had the appetite to do what they wanted and what they promised their voters. Republicans do not have that appetite. They are weak. They are feckless. They have the Senate. They have Congress, the House and the Senate. They have the Supreme Court. They have the White House. And what are they doing? They're waiting on judges to give them permission. Do you ask permission when you want something, or do you do it? Well, the Democrats do it, and then there's no repercussions.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't argue against that.
Right there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't argue against that. I mean, I don't think I've ever argued against that. We know that Democrats just make their own rules. We constantly are calling out the rhinos who pretend to be on our side, and they're not. They're the ones who have allowed all of this. So that's why when you were talking about your dispute with us here on InfoWars, I'm trying to find a clear line of an example as to what to dispute exactly. I mean, first off, we all have difference in opinions, obviously, and we don't have editorial meetings like we did in corporate media. So everyone has their own opinion here on this network. But I don't think we've ever advocated for, I'm never going to advocate for violence unless it's warranted, unless it's a response rather than to be the first to initiate it. So I haven't seen an act of violence being carried out on us as of yet. You know, I know the other side also is obviously very violent. We call that out constantly. I don't think we're at the point where we should get violent with our governments and the finances to it. I mean, yeah, if every American would jump on board with doing a boycott of paying their taxes, I think that would feel a little bit of a burden. But the reality of it is I don't think many Americans want to put their neck on the line. So I think that it's okay to have this, to try to push for accountability, I should say, within this administration. You know, I try to be fair and balanced, and I try to be as critical as I can while also counting the wins that they've done thus far. Because I don't want to be too black pill. I want to also make sure that we are coming from a very fair point. You know, if I'm every day is just going after and beating people over the heads with what they're doing wrong at their job, I think that when they actually do something that's significantly wrong, I think it doesn't have much in the way of credibility, or most people are just so immune that they won't even understand the severity of it. So I try and bald eagle. I want to get to somebody else too, because we got a couple more people on hold. So thank you for calling in. Patrick in Canada. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hello, longtime listener, first time caller.
Thank you, Patrick. We appreciate that.
Thank you. I wanted to share a unique perspective with the audience regarding what you were discussing before about the Islamic takeover of the Western world, if I can paraphrase. And I think I have a unique perspective because I'm a Canadian from Italian descent, spent most of my life in Europe, but I see the same thing happening in Canada. And I'm not going to do a laundry list of examples, but just, you know, one recent one, there was a prominent politician from Ontario, I forget the name, who got kicked out of the government because she just she was invited on a radio show, and the radio show was considered to be far right, and so there was pressure on the government, and she got kicked out just for being on that radio show. However, there's an example last year of a, if it's last year or a little bit longer before or more recent, I forget the date, but of a, it's in the news, a professor in the university actually publicly stated that he wished that the protesters against the Iranian regime would be hung. So he gets to keep his job for saying like really awful things like that. But in our own government, people get kicked out just by, you know, just for being suggested to be having right-wing opinions or dare to speak with the other side. So that's just an example. But what I wanted to make sure I bring up, I mean, you might have heard that this weekend in Germany, what I think is called the Munich Security Council, there was Reza Pahlavi that was talking. And at the same time, there was a huge protest in Munich with hundreds of thousands of people protesting against the Iranian regime. So you hear about that in the news, but what you don't hear is that there was actually three major cities that were hosting the key protests, synchronized key protests to speak against the murderous Iranian regime. And one of them was the city of Toronto. And there was more than 500,000 people there. I went there personally, and I see the videos, and you know, there's aerial videos showing the masses of the people. And it's historic. There was never as such a huge protest in the history of Canada. So what is that saying? So people are waking up. People are supporting the free people of the free people of Iran. And another part of the unique perspective that that I feel I have is I don't know, maybe you're in the same spot, Morello. That's Italian descent, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct, Sicilian.
Okay. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you see people around, strangers, and they remind you of family members, but they happen to be Persian descent? Has that ever happened to you?
No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. But I'm sure you have a story. We have 1 minute, so I'll let you take it from there.
Well, all that to say is that we are very close to the Persian people in the Western world. They're actually Indo-Europeans. And Alex, in the last June, made a very powerful statement and was showing pictures of the Persian people. And then next to it was showing pictures of the mullahs that they're trying to get rid of. And it's the same that is happening here. They took over slowly. Over there, it was a mix of communism and Islam. And since then, they've been oppressed. Their country has been set back decades back. And now it's a murderous regime that is in action. So the Western world really needs to wake up and counteract this invasion and not be afraid to speak out. Because from what I've seen, what I've learned, because I'm married a Persian woman, and I've learned so much on how they've been brainwashed from the get-go when they go to school, being forced to say death to America. So they take them very young, they brainwash them, but yet their souls don't want to stay in there, and that's why there's so many protests happening. That's why there's a lot of people being murdered when they protest. So we need to keep an eye out through that looking glass, because that's what's going to happen everywhere else.
The commercial's about to cut you out. Thank you for calling, and we appreciate your insight. Folks, if you're on hold right now, if you want to stay on hold right now, I'm going to try to get everyone in after Tom Renz, just in case we have time. But folks, stay right there. We'll be back.
Now, this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We extended it 1 day store-wide. 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Storewide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. Your support keeps us on air, and I thank you so much. And I want to give back to you. For those on the fence, I want you to experience ultramethylene blue, ultramethylene red, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, our bovine colostrum. It's a private label, the top brand in the country. 2,000 milligrams per little scoop. So good for your skin, your hair, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of milk that comes off a cow or any other mammal. Is incredible. And this is the final week. This only happens every few months. Where you don't just, every time you make a purchase, get put in one time in the raffle for whatever cool American-made supercar they're having, off-road, Mustangs, you name it. You get put in 100X into the raffle, which they've never done before, in this week. And you get put in to win both vehicles, both the F-250 diesel and the Ford Mustang Shelby. That is a huge deal, and $20,000 cash. So take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen, I don't own thealexjonesstore.com. Bigley does, with all their great operations they do. So they're able to shut down InfoWars. You can read about the news. They're still trying. It doesn't matter because Bigley owns that, and they're our sponsor, and they've built the Alex Jones Network backup studios and are helping build the new studios. I'm just work for them in the future. I don't yet, and so they can't stop me. They'll be the owner. I'll be the news director. So you're not just funding the current operation, they're funding InfoWars as well, like 90% of the funding. They're also funding the future. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now and take advantage of the biggest sale of the year, 52% off store-wide, and everybody buying anything should commit in the lightest, easiest way. Become a VIP for $30 a month with one click. You instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, discount sales on top of other sales on top of everything. If you're going to buy anything, you should be a VIP. The reason I say it's a very light commitment, you can cancel anytime for free with one click. Just whatever day of the month you sign up as a VIP, it rolls around every month and charges you $30. You don't like it for whatever reason, you get your $40, you spend it, you get your discounts, all that, then don't have any money at the time, whatever, you just cancel. So if you're going to buy anything, you should be a VIP because you get $40 instantly to spend in the store. You make $10 and it lowers the cost of everything you just bought on top of the sale. If you're a VIP, at 50% off, some of these products are loss leaders, meaning we're losing money. But because we have I didn't understand this. We have a repeat sale on the store of 98%. No one has that. On the supplements, over 80% reorder individually. That's how good these are. So take advantage now. You have less than 48 hours. So tomorrow night at midnight. You have until tomorrow night at midnight. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.
Tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all with us today. A lot happening over here in regards to Maha, and something big just broke a couple of minutes ago that I wanted to bring to you. Tom Renz will be joining us in just a second, but I want to give you an update. I reported this last week that the FDA was rejecting a Moderna application to have its mRNA flu vaccine. It hurts me to say the word vaccine when we're referring to this, but vaccine reviewed. Well, it looks like the FDA has since reversed its earlier decision to reject the Moderna application, of course. Now it looks like they will be looking into all of this. The initial refusal stemmed from disputes over the trial. I believe it was one of the comments in the letter, if I could, you know, go back into the Wayback Machine, was that there wasn't enough evidence to back all of this. But it looks like, again, that they are now going to be looking into it. The FDA has now accepted a revised approach for all of it. Under the updated plan, the agency will pursue full approval for adults aged 50 to 64. So this is interesting. This is interesting. Joining me to discuss all things related to Maha today is Tom Renz. He's an attorney. You can find him on Twitter at RenzTom. Best way to do just that. That's spelled R-E-N-Z. And his first name is Tom. That's how you're going to find him on X. Tom, thank you for being here. It's exciting to have you on. You do a great job on X at breaking down a lot of the stories that everyone else is too afraid to talk about. So I want to make sure our audience knew where to find you. But this is a big one. The fact that we saw the FDA originally, they didn't want to review the application. I recall, I think it had something to do with the study itself. They didn't think it was efficient enough. Well, now they're revising that earlier decision. What's your take on that?
Well, there's two parts of it. First of all, there's a lot to talk about in terms of the study not being effective or the data not supporting the move. But I think the other more important part is that this also happened on the heels of a $750 million investment from Blackstone. Now, Blackstone, distinguished from BlackRock, is a huge player. They're the group that everybody keeps hearing about that keeps buying all the single family homes and apartment buildings and that people talk about as potentially contributing to the overall cost of housing. Mm-hmm. Well, BlackRock, one of these major investors, throws some money behind this. And, you know, it's interesting to see the administration continue to just kind of bend over backwards to anything that any of these kind of WEF, you know, major institutional investors want.
Yeah. Well, that's the concerning part here. And I'm going to be reaching out to the FDA for comments to see specifically what made them change their mind on all of this. Because, you know, at first it was the fact that they didn't have the adequate details from the study that they thought were efficient enough to kind of launch this. But they've since changed. But have you, I know the story just broke, so I'm kind of throwing this at you right now. But have you seen anything to suggest why they thought that now is the good time to kind of resume that and revise that decision?
No, I haven't seen any justification for it. But the thing is there is no justification. At the end of the day, you know, I was just looking at some of the stuff related to this. And listen, we haven't seen that. HHS has refused to release updates on cancer rates for several years now. We don't have adequate details on safety data related to any of the mRNA poisons. mRNA is still classified as a vaccine when it's actually just a gene therapy. And by the way, anybody that wants to argue with me, you're literally injecting genetic material into your body for a therapeutic purpose with these vaccines that aren't vaccines. So, I mean, go ahead, make that argument. But there is no science. There's no science to back this. This is a betrayal, to be honest with you. Bobby said he's going to bring in gold standard science, and I like Bobby, and I know Bobby's doing a good job. But Bobby works for Susie Wiles and the rest of the administration and loves these mRNA poisons and seems hell-bent on pushing them no matter what.
Yeah, well, that's the problem here. And we're going to keep our eye on this, Tom, because obviously this is something that's very important for our audience. And so we've got our eye on that, of course. But yeah, it's so frustrating to see. But the, you know, the MAHA movement's been doing pretty good. I mean, given what we've seen across the tape, and that's why we could focus on a little bit of positive. But seeing what we've seen so far, there's obviously a lot of agencies that I have my criticisms for. But they've done a great job over at HHS so far, I think, at implementing their initial campaign commitments on that front. I want to get to this. This is something, Tom, that you and I agree on, obviously, because we're both dog lovers. And we, I know for my personal self, I actually do cook for my dogs because I feared the dog food itself. We've had these discussions before, but the Clean Label Project has investigated dog food, and they've done this through about 79 popular commercial dog foods. And they found out an alarming amount of heavy metals in that food. Now, that would include lead and mercury and others. And obviously, this is extremely concerning, but it also includes plastics as well, pesticides, and cancer-causing components. Now, this is widely found in dry kibble as well, often 3 to 13 times higher than normal heavy metals found in human food. I mean, this is concerning, obviously. What do you make of this? Because I know you've discussed the disgusting chemicals that are being found currently in dog food. So what do you make of this latest study?
Well, I think it's probably very accurate. So, I mean, we can't even get by with people food. We just found arsenic levels increased in a bunch of different candies that kids eat. You know, we keep finding glyphosate and everything. And so you got to understand that the grade of food that they use to make dog food is much lower. Now, remember also that the people who make dog food are the same big ag people and big pharma people that make everything, right? So you have to understand the way this industry works. And it's very, very clear if you're paying attention. So you get these major companies, and let's take Bayer Pharmaceuticals, for example. Bayer owns they own Roundup, they own glyphosate, right? So they make these poisons, they put it on the food, and then they make the medicines that they use to cure you. They do the same thing with dog food. So you know, you have Merck and a bunch of these others that are involved with making vaccines for animals that are also involved with the food side of things. Across the board, the major players in the vaccine industry now own major stakes, not just the vaccine industry, but the pharmaceutical industry, own major stakes also in the egg industry. And we're seeing kind of this thing where the food's getting less healthy, and it's causing a lot of problems. And dog food is just not, people don't pay attention to what they're feeding their puppies. So, yeah, no one's testing it as much as they do regular food. So it's really, I expect that if we properly test enough dog food, we would actually be horrified at what we found. There's indications of this, you know, and now we're moving towards the mRNA that they're using in more and more animals. They're using mRNA as pesticides in crops. I mean, this all kind of fits together. It makes our pets sick. It makes us sick. And, it's horrible. But we do have a win on the grass list, which is another topic. So maybe it'll get a little better.
Yeah, we'll get to that next, too. You know, this is why, and I know I've got smaller dogs, so it's easier for me to say, but this is the reason why I cook for my dogs. And I try my very best to make sure it's just meats, organic vegetables. Again, it's not 100%, obviously, given the spraying that's going on all across the country, but it's an attempt to try. So if folks at home are listening and thinking, how can I do this? I mean, I have had great results. You know, my dog is a rescue, Giuseppe, and Giuseppe had like places on his body where he was missing fur after I picked him up from the shelter, and he had a lot of issues, itching constantly. I got rid of most of that by just not letting him eat dog food and actually cooking at home. So it's always a good and important idea to float out there for our audience too, in case they're interested. But as you just mentioned, grass, the loophole is trying to be closed by the HHS secretary right now. He's targeting it right now. To be a little more transparent when it comes to ingredients, what do you make of the new front that obviously RFK Jr. is trying to lead?
This is critical for dogs and for people. And I got to tell you, it's like you said, I think HHS is doing a good job overall. You know, there's a lot of problems there. It's probably one of the toughest industry cabinet positions to take. I mean, Bobby's got a very tough job because there's so much pressure and so much corruption when he came in. But he's doing some remarkable things. And if he can close the grass loophole, that's huge. European countries typically have about 400 ingredients that are eligible for food. By regulation. In the U.S., by some estimates, we have over 10,000. They're not safe. No one tests them to be safe. All they need is a statement from the manufacturer saying that we believe it'll be safe. It says a little bit more than that, but there's really no science backing it up. And then it's just called safe. And it's a really, really dangerous thing. We have so many products. People will talk, hey, I went to Europe. I ate pasta for 2 weeks. I felt great. I came back and had a noodle and I was sick. Well, that's true. That's true. And yes, it's, you know, the glyphosate in the fields and the poisons that we use on our crops. It's the fact that they're all genetically modified. I mean, our farming as an industry has really, really gone south, and it's industrial farmers. The mom and pop shops, the local farmers, you know, they do a lot of things real, real well. But the industrial and commercial farming and commercial ag has really just been a betrayal to health. And this is a tremendous step forward. I cannot stress how big of a deal the grass loophole being shut down would have. It's just a huge impact.
How do we go about reversing all of this, too? Because obviously closing the loophole is really important, Tom. But how do we figure out, how do we prevent this from happening down the line? Because right now, like you just mentioned, you know, HHS, I think, is doing one of the better jobs out of a lot of these other agencies. But if the next administration steps in, I mean, the process companies will pour in their lobbyists, and it's not going to go well for us. So how do we make sure that changes like these loopholes being shut down, how do we make sure that's permanent?
Well, this has been one of my major complaints with the administration and the GOP is ultimately we don't. At the end of the day, this is going to come down to either passing legislation or it's going to change the next time someone comes in. I mean, right now, over the last year or so, we've had to fight against the pesticide immunity actions. They kept trying to put, anybody that doesn't know about this, you know, the GOP keeps trying to sneak in immunity for pesticide makers like glyphosate. You know, they get the dicamba coming out now, which is a deadly, deadly, dangerous poison. They keep putting these poisons in and on our food, and a lot of times it's being approved by EPA or various different agencies. Bobby doesn't have total authority to stop this. And the administration is, I mean, frankly, they're MAHA is second to the administration over, corporate profits in many cases. And I understand the need to fix our economy, so I support the president in trying to make the economy better. But at the end of the day, this isn't the way to do it. And so, you know, we've got this balance that's kind of off right now. And so yeah, the only way to fix this on a permanent way is to really, I mean, if they make official rulemakings, that'll have a big thing. That's what they're looking at with the grass loophole. But ultimately, outside of that, the only way to really do this is to pass legislation and then to fight for it. But this GOP Congress is absolutely owned by pharma and absolutely owned by big industry. So I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating to see. And you know, since we're talking about a lot of harmful chemicals that are being found in our foods, I want to also cite that the EPA has recently reapproved, and I'll let you kind of tell our audience about how dangerous this all is, but recently has reapproved the use of something called Dicamba. Dicamba, it's a herbicide, it looks like. This is something that a lot of people are warning about and it's very dangerous, but it's used often on cotton and soybeans. Can you break this down for this? I saw this on your X page and you were very concerned.
Yeah, it's a very concerning thing because Dicamba is a very, very dangerous product, and it's very hard to control the drift. It goes everywhere when they spray it. And it's not been classified as carcinogenic, but it's likely carcinogenic. I mean, it's kind of like saying that the COVID vaccines don't cause cancer. We may not have all the science to back it up because they keep covering the science up, but it does. And this is going to be something else. It's a neurotoxin, endocrine disruptor, all sorts of problems in there. So, I mean, this is another thing that they're going to put out there. It's going to get in on the food, and it's going to be something that we all have to live with. And when the problem is going to really be for the farmers and the people living in and around the fields where they're spraying this stuff, because it just goes everywhere. The drift is a real issue with it. It's a very unsafe product. And this is coming down. One of the other issues we have is, like, I keep grumbling about the GOP, but the Democrats are worse. So I don't really know what we do about this. It really is one of those things where we, the people, we're going to have to really kind of retake things and kind of shift things up in the primaries to get some, and make MAHA a real thing that people talk about.
Yeah, well, I think that's the reason why the vast majority voted for President Trump in the 2024 election, obviously. And so MAHA is the movement that so many of us support. And we want to make sure that is a top priority. Tom Renz, thank you for joining us, as you always do. You do a great job at breaking all of this down. And this is obviously something that for the American people, we are very much on board with and we want to learn more about. So Tom Renz, you do a great job over on your Twitter page as well. Folks, give him a follow at Renz Tom is where you could find him. He's an incredible attorney fighting for medical freedom. And he doesn't stop. And that's the reason why we love and appreciate him so much. So thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Brianna.
All right, folks, we are going to go back into some calls. I know a lot of you were on hold and I hate to leave you there. So let's jump back in. I see Craig on Craig in Ohio is still on hold. Craig, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brianna. A perfect time to follow Tom. Tom has done some fantastic work over the last 5 to 6 years. And then also connecting that, so he mentioned Blackstone in there, and then also we have Bald Eagle made some good points back on economics when he was calling in, and I wasn't going to call in today, but then I decided to sit on hold and go through this because I wanted to bring up a couple things. It's really obvious to me that the economics, like, you guys do a great job on so many topics, but you really never hit the economics square on. And so we can talk about technocracy and healthcare and politics and all this stuff. But I hear a lot of people depressed today, talking about the administration's not getting things done. And we watched the Epstein files come out. And I just want to provide a framework that I think could be useful. And that is that if we're going to have, and you bring Mel Kay on all the time and so forth, and she does a good job with technocracy. But here's the point is that if we're going to bring in the technocracy, that is a social control, credit score, energy-driven system, right? Energy credit. If you're doing a good job, you get more social credits. If you're doing a bad job, they take some away. if you're going to bring something like that in, and we see this with the AI, we see this with all the spending, we see this with the oracles, you know, all the stuff back to the Epstein files just validates this more than anything, is that they have to destroy the government, right? You have to tear that out of there. So I think what we're doing is we're seeing an actual controlled demolition of the politicians and politics, so that you create an empty gaping hole for the technocracy to walk right into its place. And so I think if people come at it from, you know, at least entertain that framework, all this stuff starts to make sense, right? And this isn't just happening in the U.S. This is happening globally. And what happens is, you know, we have governments, we have this layer of people that no one knows the name of, and they have the access to go into a place like Japan and suppress it for 30 or 40 years, go in there and do what's called the carry trade, steal money from the Japanese people, steal wealth, put it into the system, go into private equity, which Harrison's done a good job with the Vino mom, you know, covering private equity. You guys skirt around it all the time, but you never hit it head on. And that is that this class of people goes in and they're able to extract money from massive systems, governments, Japan for 20, 30, 40 years. And then they take that, put it into private equity, put it into things like Apollo Group, right, that goes out and makes these investments, or Blackstone makes these investments. And then we see, you know, what they do with it, right? They team up with ARPA, DARPA. They come back. They set up Facebook. They set up, you know, they set up Palantir. They set all this stuff up, right, back into the technocracy world. And all this stuff gets built up, right? And then they get done with Japan, and that let interest rates rise. And now we see them going around creating these 100-year bonds, $100 billion of debt to fund the AI system. They're using Google. What do? They go out, they create debt, right? 100-year debt, you know? And where are they going? They're going to UK, doing it in pound sterling. They're going to Switzerland. They're setting up a whole new carry trade, right? How to rip off another system, global system. And Chamath Palihapitiya, which most people don't know that name, but he's a major technocrat tied in with David Sachs, who's our part-time crypto czar in the White House. He said there's 150 people out there in the world that control all the money flows. And that's what we're really dealing with. And the problem is, you guys do a great job. I mean, I can't stress how great of a job you do, but you just don't hit on the economics and finance in the structure that if you're going to bring in technocracy, you have to get rid of the politicians. And that's what we're seeing. That's why they just released the Epstein files, is to destroy the government, because they're going to bring in the technocracy.
Well, Craig, we appreciate the insight on that. No, I mean, listen, I appreciate all perspectives, and there's a lot of news topics to cover, and so we do our very best, but I appreciate the angle. And as many of you guys know, Mel Kay is constantly on the show, so this is right up her alley as well. So, Craig, we appreciate you, and thank you for staying on hold, too. I know that takes a lot of energy for folks, and so we appreciate it. But yeah, we'll do our very best, Craig. All right, let's turn to Big Mac in Wisconsin. Big Mac, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. You can hear me okay?
I can. Welcome.
Excellent. Hey, boy, your callers, they're nailing it today. Kudos to all of them, everybody that's called in. I'm going to get to my point here. By any chance, sweetheart, did you happen to catch, it would have been January 18th of this year, the segment with Mark Levin and Peter Schweitzer on his book, The Invisible Coup? Did you catch that at all?
I have not caught it. No. Mark Levine's not really my guy, so I don't really try to listen.
Well, okay, then we could put him aside. That's fine. It's just like I've said, I've been a listener and a follower of InfoWars, I'm not kidding you, well over 30 years.
Thank you.
Practically the beginning. Love Alex, but I sure like his guests. So let's go back to his guest, Peter Schweitzer. My point is, that man came out and talked about the threat to the United States here in America, what we are up against on the invisible coup. That was so thought-provoking and right on to where we stand right now in America, to where it seems like we as the citizens, and we're counting on our administration to put a quell and stop this infiltration of what's happened to the United States as far as from Islam to the Muslims. I'm not going to pick on them, but they are part of the problem. Antifa, Marxists, socialists. We have a coup going on here, literally, and a lot of people ain't paying attention to that. I don't believe that they are in this country. We got armchair warriors. They sit there and get on the internet and talk, and everybody's got opinions. Great. I don't see action. I don't see action where it comes down. How about us conservatives getting out there with our protest signs and getting in their bases? They're getting away with all this garbage, you know, and they've got numbers, strength in numbers. They're out there protesting and raising heck and doing all these things, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the country. And where are we? Do we have the gall to get up there in their faces and say, you know, we've had enough of you. You got a right to protest. Fine. Guess what? Here we come. We aren't armchair warriors. We're going to get in your face because we love America. You hate America. You're in for the wrong change. We just as soon keep things well alone the way it is. We love America. I'd serve my country in the Navy. And I'll tell you what, if I got called again to go against domestic terrorists, I'm ready. Call me, because I'll get in their face. And I ain't afraid to die either for my country still. And that don't mean I'm a bad person at all, but
no,
we need to get in their face, because that's why they're getting away with it. Nobody's got the gall to get up in their faces and say, you know what, enough of you people. You know, it's really irritating. It really is. But my point back to what I was talking about, that Peter Schweitzer interview, let me tell you what, that nailed it. This is where we're at in this country. This is where we are at. And if we as civilians and this administration doesn't do anything with this threat that we got going on, you know what? We're done. We are done. That's just the way I see it, honey.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Well, first off, thank you for your service. I appreciate it. And yeah, I'll give this a look. Peter's obviously one of the individuals who I do really appreciate his insight on a lot of these things. I used to book him quite often over at Fox, and I think he is definitely someone who we should all pay attention to. So Big Mac, thank you for calling in and bringing that to our attention. We greatly appreciate it. Folks, for everyone who's on hold right now, thank you for calling in. I try my best. So I was like, let's go into overtime and let's try to grab some more. But we did about an hour of calls today, and I love and appreciate all of you for waiting on hold, and thank you for that. Unfortunately, though, we're up against a clock, that damn clock. But thank you for being here, and thank you for calling in, folks. In the meantime, though, if you want to save a ton of money, you got to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com right this second. There's a couple more hours left. And the 52% off site wide sale. That's the mega sale going on right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. And it's a good investment. Not only are you investing in us today and keeping us up on air and whatever future projects we intend on doing, of course, but most importantly, it's a good investment for you, because this is the final week to enter to win both the Ford Mustang as well as the Ford F-250. Plus, if that's not enough of an incentive, you could potentially win $20,000 in cash. So every time you go make a purchase right now over at the alexjonesstore.com, you enter to win that. Every dollar spent is about 100 times the entries. I don't even know how you count at that point, but head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. And I keep telling you about it because I love them. I'm obsessed with them. But those energy shots, if you haven't bought a box of those, do it now. It's incredibly inexpensive, and it costs less than a cup of coffee, and it's healthier. No caffeine, and you don't get all the jitters, and it lasts throughout the day. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. All right, folks, that does it for me. The Alex Jones Show is next.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at thealexjonesstore.com. And they had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives. That's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it. So people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly. Four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last 2 days. Our sponsor, just really top-flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it. These sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $47 bucks. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small, nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire with Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest of any knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. Yes, those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. But while you're at it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.